traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
So you don't have to wait for Access to do a story on you to be living in your route to forgiveness.
False. Because y'all have a demographic that only knows me for one thing. They are not watching this. They are not watching my vlogs.
So then it...
Hi. Welcome to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world.
Wait, didn't you wear that yesterday?
Fuck you. What happened was, and if you saw yesterday's podcast with McKenna, Life of Mac, the ASMR girl, you know we were going to do her podcast, then split it with Access Hollywood. We did McKenna's podcast. Was absolutely amazing. If you didn't see it, like and subscribe to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. We went to do the Access Hollywood interview, and it was amazing, long, incredible. Seriously, one of my favorite conversations ever. So we're going to roll that right now. The guy's name is Scott. He's not here currently, obviously. We're about to cut to him to being here. So hit that subscribe button first. Wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, whatever. And enjoy my interview Scott. With Access Hollywood also, Scott Evans. Hey, welcome back. That was the hardest cut of 2018. Guys, we are here with Scott Evans, the correspondent from Access Hollywood. Uh-huh. I just did my piece with them. So he interviewed me. Hopefully I don't come across like a shithead. It's very possible. Probably is going to happen. But I felt all right.
I don't think so.
How'd it feel? With
no, I don't think so. I think people are going to be surprised by your thought process. I think people are going to be surprised by your heart and your awareness. Mm. I hope anyway. I was so.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. It was also 20 minutes, like just being honest with you. So now
it goes so fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, it goes really fast. Yeah. But now, like, surprise, the tables have turned.
The tables.
Welcome
have
to Impulsive,
turned.
The hottest podcast in the world. Are you nervous, Scott?
You should be. Do you have a light cue?
Absolutely.
Yep. It's a program called Danny.
Danny, can we get the crazy lights going?
Yeah. I'm so down.
So yo, Impulsive viewers, check this out. Scott came
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
He's strapped. Look at this. He brought his giant camera crew. There's like 12 scary. Access Hollywood people.
We don't mess around.
No, they brought a nice producer lady, Ariel.
Yep.
Like this, it's
the whole squad's here.
Amazing.
What's that guy doing? That Ariel's giving the massage seat.
Oh
right
yeah.
Now.
He is a sound engineer.
Sound guy? Oh, that's your Anton. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we have an Anton.
the tables have turned, man.
Welcome to
Encino, California. Thank you for
It's nice out here.
It's
got like deciduous trees.
There's some coniferous in there as well.
Yeah, there are some. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I have a
eucalyptus in my backyard. I could show you after.
Yeah.
We get cumulus clouds.
Yeah.
I think the Dolan saw one of them one
you
time.
You do. Out here, some like things happen out in Encino.
All right, listen, I'm gonna get juicy with this, bro.
Uh oh.
Here we go.
That piece you're running.
Uh-huh.
What's the narrative?
What do you mean?
What are you trying to do?
What are you trying to do,
bro?
What's your motive?
What's my motive for what?
Just because this year's been going pretty good for me, I feel pretty confident.
I think the question
should I be asking the producer?
Well, I mean, honestly, you should be asking yourself. It's an interview, right?
True.
So you have all of the control to really control your narrative. We're not, I mean, Access Hollywood, our show is not one to paint people in a way that is not real or in line with who they actually are.
So it's up to me to paint a good image and picture of myself.
It's up to you to paint a true image.
You just give him the canvas.
And honestly, I'm just looking at the canvas with you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I don't necessarily give you anything. Like, I didn't set this
Does
up.
Does she?
No, I think that's like, again, that's all on you. You, we are in your space. This is your domain.
I know, and I really appreciate you coming here. Yeah. By the way, I said Mike. I was like, yo, he's doing the interview like on my turf. That's ballsy.
Ballsy?
Yeah. In the
lion's den. We do interviews. I mean, everywhere. I mean, I've been in much more like what is it?
Stress, high pressure,
high pressure, high stress. I'm not stressed out. Are you stressed out?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be.
I am.
He's scared. I can see his hair standing up on his arms.
They are standing up on your arms.
He's nervous.
I'm cool as a cucumber.
Chilling like a villain.
Do you want to know why? I don't know if you can tell. I sort of have a... my publisher is not going to like this.
Here we go.
Just like, I sort of have like a vendetta. Like I have some beef with like traditional Hollywood.
Okay.
It's nothing, nothing against you. I mean, I'm always tentative. Like when I say like, what's your narrative? What are you going to intro this piece on? Which by the way, is coming out tomorrow. If you guys want to watch it on Access Hollywood, what does the intro look like? And what does the outro look like? Like, is it going to be
controversial YouTuber
surrounded by like some shit like that? Like controversial YouTube, like the times I've heard controversial YouTuber, like,
well, I think I brought that up with you in the interview. Controversial YouTuber was an interesting moniker or interesting title to give you, but I think that a lot of people saw the things that you were posting and thought they
are controversial. Yeah, I guess it fits perfectly.
You kind of are a controversial YouTuber.
I really am. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I also understand like the desire to want to move on, the desire to want to kind of repent and
rebrand,
advance, not just, but rebrand is, it comes with a commodity, mm-hmm. right? I'm talking about your life. I'm talking you as a person. Yeah, we were here talking about impulsive. We were talking about videos you've done, but if you look at the questions I ask you, I was wanting to get to know you as a person, not even necessarily as a content producer, because I think that the thing that will be forever, right? That will last longer than the content you produce, or the reputation you have now, is the person you are and the people and the way that people know you to be, right?
Yeah, which is why in our interview I iterated, and this was truthful, that this year the focus has been on me.
Yeah.
Fans, you know, where are the vlogs? We want more vlogs.
Yeah.
Yo, that shit poisoned me. So I'm taking it easy on the vlogs. Bear with me. For now, you got Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world, by the way. Like and subscribe.
But tell me, how old are you now?
23.
How old were you when you first started posting videos?
10.
And you've been posting videos on at least a weekly basis since what age?
10.
So you think about a young guy who is growing up on camera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In control of a lot because he's, you know, it's videos you put out. But it's hard growing up, period. You know, let alone within the age of social media, let alone in a way that, and this is one of the questions I ask you, you produce content, you also get paid to produce content. I wanted to know if that felt like pressure to you, if the word YouTube star was pressure for you.
Yeah. And by the way, you'll see in the interview tomorrow what my answer was to that. looking for my seat thing. But yeah, it's not pressure. I'm fortunate. Like, again, pretty clear. Like, I'm fortunate, I'm blessed, and there's no pressure so far. But what's your demographic? Who's going to watch that episode?
Well, that's going to be, I don't think it's going to be your typical audience.
I know, which is.
Here's what I imagine. My mom emptying the dishwasher.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, 7:45 Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
And Access Hollywood's playing in the back, like on a little TV in the corner over by the microwave. She's like, this is great. Great news.
About 7:45.
Yeah, like around that time. She's just emptying the dishwasher. She's like, damn it, where's your father? With the freaking bread.
All right, man, we get it. All right. The picture has been painted.
That's the demographic in my mind.
That's one demographic, right?
Y'all bleep swear words? I was cussing a lot.
It depends. You did swear a lot.
I said penis, too.
You did say penis.
Can you say
like
that?
Like, it was within the first 30 seconds.
I know.
It tends to happen.
It's my brand. I guess I am controversial. Fuck. Damn, you hate to see it.
Okay. There aren't many days that go by in which that word is not said.
Not yet. Not said.
But it's usually not penis, though.
Why? Why? This might be a question for you, but maybe you're a vehicle for her. Why did you guys, Access Hollywood, decide to give me your time and your demographic is partially the exact people who reprimand the shit out of me and disdain everything I do? So why are you giving me a platform to speak other than my own.
Well, here's the question I'll ask you in response to that. Why did you apologize?
Because I was sorry.
Okay. So I think the people who heard that apology are interested in knowing if you follow that apology up with any sort of action that represents sincerity in that apology. Mm. And I think that people who look at you as a content producer potentially for their kids, whether you want to be or not, I think that people who look at you as a content producer out here, it just in the ethos, hold you to a certain level of responsibility, right? And so our audience, I think, you know, I can't necessarily speak for why our executive producer agreed or why any of our segment producers agreed, but I can tell you why I wanted to come do the interview.
Please.
Was because I wanted to get to know who you were.
But
we took a moment, a series of choices you made in your life, and we blew it up. And when I say we, I don't just mean Hollywood. I mean people. Social media, right? We blew it up and we dissected and we made judgment calls based on the choices you made, the videos you posted, the way you responded to comments and to critique. And I think this for me was an opportunity to get to know you a little better. When I say get to know you, I don't mean comprehensively or like you totally in 20 minutes. That's impossible. But certainly get a glimpse into your personality and a glimpse into your thought process.
Frame of mind, yeah.
You got a glimpse. I will emphasize that
and
word.
And I think
you
snapshot.
You got a glimpse.
Sure, sure.
It's hard to dive in 20 minutes. But then let me reciprocate and ask you, how do you know I'm not putting on a front and that my publicist feeds me every line that I gave to you guys?
So here's the benefit of... I guess the issue with you not knowing who I am, like I am good at what I do because I read that, right? I'm good at what I do.
I'm an actor though. The fourth most Googled, by the way.
You are. But it didn't say the best actor.
Facts.
It said the most Googled actor.
I'm not the best actor. I need work.
You know what I'm saying?
Watch The Thinning 2 on YouTube.
Right? What he's saying is he could see right through that bullshit if you try to.
Well, you think it's bullshit? Like,
no, I think you are a young guy who made a series of public, very public mistakes and misread the response to those mistakes. And I think, unfortunately, the time that we live in now, it's difficult for anybody to make mistakes, right? You see things that happen online and people pile on and it's a wrap, like their whole life has to change.
Do you know what I came to the conclusion
But I also think that some of us need to wake up and know that the things that we do, the things that we say, especially when we are in the forefront, we're held to a level of responsibility, whether we like it or not. And I'm hoping that at some point we reach a point where there is space to learn from our mistakes.
Yes.
And to repent for, and I don't mean like go to Jesus and pray, but I mean change your course of action because you've learned from your mistakes.
Yes.
That was the question that I asked you. And that to me, when you said, if you want to ask me a direct question, any question, I'll answer it. What was the question I asked you?
I honestly forget.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I ask you, what has been the lesson this last year?
Oh,
what has been the situation, the thing you have learned?
Biggest lesson.
Which biggest lesson?
Which, by the way, creators, friends, everyone, like, watch the interview. I'm gonna plug your show right now. Watch the interview to hear my answer to that question. I think it's the most important thing I said.
7:30 NPC.
There we go. Okay, so you know what I came to the revelation of the other day? Because 2018 has been sort of a shitstorm of mistakes and controversies and scandals, blah, 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 me included. Like, literally, I just kicked off the year with some horrible shit. I think for whatever reason in my life, whatever went wrong, when it went wrong, I was unfortunately capable of making the mistake that I did. It was the perfect storm of my upbringing, where I was, and what I was doing at that point in my life, mm-hmm. that
everything just came together and taught me the biggest lesson of my life.
You would say that was the biggest lesson of your life?
Oh, yeah. I would.
Did it come at the biggest cost to you, or would you say that was like the biggest lesson?
It's almost like I don't even want to call it a cost, man, because like it to me it was so necessary, and it's unfortunate that it had to happen that way. But I honestly believe it did have to happen.
I will say this about the difference between this interview and the interview that you gave me is that you seem far more comfortable now than you did in our interview.
Yeah. And honestly, because I think it's what I kind of expressed before. It's like I sort of have a vendetta with traditional Hollywood. It makes me very nervous to put myself on a medium that's not my own. And
yeah.
Because I don't know, bro. I've been painted like a shithead this whole year, as rightfully so, because I've done some real.
Okay,
like,
but hold on. So here's my question. So when you say like I've been painted like a shithead and rightfully so, like how does that sentence how do you move beyond that statement, right? Because it's like, at some point you have to say, I would think perhaps, you'd have to say, huh, am I a shithead?
Yeah, which is,
or,
yes.
Or like, do I wanna be known and portrayed as and likened to? Or do I wanna be something better? Can I be something better?
And listen, more? And listen, there's another question there too. And there's another point. And that's how the public kind of responds to the painting that he's making, right? Mm-hmm. And so some of the stuff that wasn't talked about today was a mental health awareness and suicide awareness documentary that got how many views?
30 something million,
yeah. Or the, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars that was donated, and or the direct messages that were answered, and all of the positive impacts that were made as a result of this mistake.
Yeah.
And by the way, a lot of positive impacts that were being made prior to that mistake happening. Yeah. Make-A-Wish Foundation, all of the good things. As a society, I think we need to look inward at the magnifying glass we use to make a spectacle out of the mistakes and negative actions that people like Logan make, or anybody else, and make a little bit more noise about the positive things. And so, like, I wouldn't say that 2018 as a painting for him was a shit painting, throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
It started a little fucked up and ugly, but it ended with a lot of really good things happening as a result. And the biggest one being his growth as a human.
I'm biased. And I guess the reason I feel like this is because, like, I haven't seen an article, an outlet, a publication mm-hmm. where the words Logan Paul, controversial YouTube star, did not lead. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if you guys did it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if, and again, maybe this is my fault. It's like I'm trying to earn the chance to be forgiven.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for you to forgive me right now. I'm asking for your permission, and when I say you, I'm not talking to my camera. I'm talking to your cameras.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking for your permission to allow me to be forgiven.
Hmm.
Because without that even, and a lot of people have completely shut that off, without that, it's like, how long is the controversial YouTuber going to be the thing? Like, I cannot move forward with that. In my mind, I have been locked in this role, and that's it. And now I'm like, struggling, trying to fight out of that, and it's difficult.
Can I ask you a question on that point?
Yeah.
I think it's also important for him to realize that you're not locked into that title because you are a controversial YouTuber per se.
But
you're locked into that title because that's the shit that gets people watching, bro. They use clickbait. Traditional media uses clickbait. CNN uses clickbait the same way we use clickbait on YouTube. They take the most exciting, intriguing part of the story, which is suicide forest, you know, you controversial YouTuber, and they lead with it because it's going to get views, it's going to get clicks. So I think, like, there's a part of you that has to separate from and understand that there's a difference between them using it to define you and them using it to propel their own.
Before you speak, yes, yeah. Yes. I will say I'm also cognizant that I have not fully done my job in like I'm sitting here like whining, right? But I have not yet fully proven, like, yo, I deserve that chance to be forgiven. Mm. I think the only thing I can continue to do is continue making some dope ass content that make big waves online. Cause that's at the end of the day, that's what I'm good at. That's my thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I gotta work harder is what it comes down to. But
and
I'm going to challenge you, and because maybe it's work harder, right? Or maybe it's get clearer. Because I think that you have to be aware of what it is you want, right? Like you talked about a minute ago. It's not necessarily that I want to be forgiven right now. It's that I want the I want to be given the opportunity for forgiveness, to earn that forgiveness, right? You were asking me about the title controversial YouTube star. You have the power to reverse that, right? Just like you had the power to
create that,
yeah. Right? Like, we didn't go to Japan and make you do a video. We didn't make you post it. We didn't make you keep it up. We didn't make you take it down. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And when I say we, I mean socially.
Yeah. Yeah.
We. I don't mean Access. I don't mean NBC or YouTube. So, you know, you have to, I think you are the captain of your own ship here.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so if there's something that you want, be about the business of going to get it like you do for Impulsive.
Yeah. And we are. 2019 is going to be huge. We've purposely been, and I've said this before, like kind of holding back on the content output right now.
Yeah.
Because we're going to hit 2019 the hardest we've hit anything.
Mm-hmm. So what does forgiveness look like for you then? Because it doesn't look like, I mean, to be honest, is it just the removal of using the word controversial YouTube star? Because it doesn't seem to me that, like, and forgive me if I'm being ignorant, but it doesn't seem to me that you've been hit like super hard. Like is it just like you walk in the grocery store and people looking at you like, there he is.
In real life, no. In real life, no. I haven't. No one treats me. I mean, sure, you have the occasional heckler, but forgiveness to me looks like my opportunity to start acting in films again by big production companies in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
brands reaching out to me and going, you know what? He's made mistakes, but we like what he's doing now and we like where his brand is headed,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to partner with him and maybe put our brand on the line because we know the payoff is going to be great. I think obviously dropping the whole controversial, like at what point are people going to stop saying like, where earlier this year, his Suicide Forest scandal, you know, like I don't know the answer. And I do have to be patient.
Yeah.
It's something I'm not good at.
Yeah. But I think you can't necessarily dictate how people, okay, once you put it out there, you can't really dictate how then people digest that.
Yeah, true.
Right. Everyone has to go through their process. This thing has to go through its process.
Yeah.
I understand 100% can understand making a mistake or doing something that ends up being something you regret. Right. And then feeling like I want to move past this. That's unfortunately just not how.
I know. I've come to accept that.
But you do have all of the power to put as much, and if it means as much as it seems like it means to you, as much as your energy behind moving it forward in a way that you own. Right. So you don't have to wait for Access to do a story on you to be living in your route to forgiveness.
False. Because y'all have a demographic that only knows me for one thing. They are not watching this. They are not watching my vlogs.
So then it would really behoove you to take advantage then of the opportunities when you're in front of the, because I'm a representative. It seems like I'm a representative of this audience you want to reach, right? That the last time they heard from you is.
Yeah. Yes.
The controversial, yeah.
Tokyo,
yeah. Right? And so it would seem to me that you would do as much as you possibly could to engage in a 100% as authentic as possible experience or interaction to show this is who I am.
But
in the snapshot that you can see in these 20 minutes.
I think going back to that question that I asked before earlier, like it is. And this goes back to media responsibility and the Access Hollywood responsibility and everybody. Is the story about Logan Paul, philanthropist and Make-A-Wish Foundation proponent and activist, going to get the same coverage from you? And I don't mean the same.
No, it's not. Okay. And I'll tell you why it's not. Because, and if I'm going to be perfectly candid, no, it's not, because it doesn't hit the same.
Right.
And the not to say that it's not significant, the giving back and your philanthropic endeavors. Like, not to say that that doesn't have a significant pull or weight, right? But if you're asking me, because I also can't speak for all of media.
Right.
I can't speak for even Access Hollywood. I can talk for me.
But you're representative of the current state.
Why do you think that deserves coverage? That's what you coverage? Say. Why does that deserve coverage?
Well, because listen, and I think this goes to a higher level discussion right now about media and current, you know, dialogue.
Yeah.
The reason why we have someone like Donald Trump as president, right? And the conversation, how it evolves and evolves and evolves around this negative connotation. Mm-hmm. And dirty laundry has always paid the bills for media. Always, 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 always. And it continues to. And so Logan Paul, you know.
What is he supposed to do? Yeah, if you say that, like, you live it and breathe it, and that's what you
do. Right.
Authentic. So my question is, what do you think he should do?
To be totally honest with you, I think you should take a break. If you're asking me, now this is not my recommendation to you. This is what I think.
Okay.
I think it would have been beneficial to you to take a break.
I get mentally unhealthy and unhappy if I'm not creating content.
I didn't say that you shouldn't be creating content. I said that you should take a break. Because you're creating content doesn't mean that you're putting it out and that you're being fed off of this energy exchange with an audience.
But that's part of my high.
So then maybe you need to consider being sober.
This is an analogy.
Right.
So guys, I am quitting YouTube and every
because of him
and never have ever done.
No, I'm certainly not saying I'm not saying that this is what you should do. If you're gonna ask me my opinion, I think it would have been a reasonable course of action to see the response that happened as a result of that video and to say, okay, I am moving. You said it yourself. I'm moving way too fast. I've got way too much going on. It appears that my core, my conscious center is out of alignment with who I really am. And now I am hurting people in a way that I did not anticipate. And so I need to get that back in check.
Yep.
And so in order to do that, I'm a step away.
He did.
That break for me was me training for the boxing fight that I had earlier this year.
That's not stepping away to me. That's pivoting into something that is just as fast, just as furious, and doesn't necessarily allow you the opportunity to then go in and say, what in my life has gone dealt with that would or handled maybe improperly that allowed me or that propelled me to get to this point where this is what my life is, or this is where the course of actions have taken me. How is it that I've gotten to this point, and what is it that I need to address so that I'm not so out of alignment?
Is that realistic?
Sure.
Like for a working person in this day and age, right? Or
for a multimillionaire?
All right, listen, but I'm saying, but for anyone.
Well, no, you can't that's reality.
But let me jump back in. As opposed to it being a detriment to his pocket, even if it's just a detriment to his mind to not create, right? Is it realistic for him to take this, you know, 6-month break? Now, when it first happened, when Tokyo-
You say 6 months. Maybe I'm saying like year, 2 years, years 3
listen,
years.
But listen, I was with him from the beginning. I was not the beginning, but definitely from the beginning of the year and far beyond that. But I was with him in January.
Yeah.
And he took a very significant step back in January.
I don't know if I've ever said this publicly. Yes, I took the step back. It was not effective. It was not a true
step back.
Right.
I came back and I made a very, very powerful and strong video that is like Mike said, it's the number one most viewed suicide PSA ever. I'm very proud of that.
Yeah.
I know it saved lives. And that's one positive from the situation. But I will say again, in hindsight, I can see this now. And even now, I'm sure I'm not like fully recovered and hyper aware of everything. But I do know now when I look back and even after that month break, you could see in the vlogs, like that month break didn't really do anything. I didn't really learn much. It took relationships with people. Me although you don't think it was a step back, taking a step back from the internet and focusing hard on getting my body to where it needed to be for this mm-hmm. crazy event. Even doing this helps. Impulsive helps because I can really express myself and be curious and do my best to move on to that next step. But yeah, if I'm going to take a break, he said 6 months, you said 2 years. Like if I'm going to take a proper
break,
it's
like 15 minutes and you're,
it's just hard, dude. Like if I needed to do it, it would have to be like a year or 2 years, which I just don't want to do. Cause I would literally be so unhappy, really actually unhappy.
Yeah.
Even if I am making content, if I did, it would be for music. Yeah. I would take a 6 month hiatus to just make an album or two and come back and be like, yo, I'm here.
So humor me. It like I'm hearing a lot about like me, my turn, I, right? And it I guess the thing that I was suggesting is that the look in your break is really about like where am I in relation to others? Right? Where am I? How am I falling in relation to others? Because like I think one of the reasons you got the moniker controversial YouTube star was because it was like all these other people were affected by the video. And it was like,
In terms of a pivot point for someone who is in a crash and burn trajectory to then flip it to what I know him to be now, which is a very, very grounded, strong, continuing to better himself day after day and starting to now find that very, very sincere empathy and empathy for others that can then create something that that helps those people and groups of those people through whether mental health awareness or suicide or whatever he decides to do, because he's got a ton of things on the plate. It touched him in a way that I don't think anyone watching or listening to this can ever understand.
I don't think he's taking that away from Logan. I think what he's saying is to just be conscious of the impact.
Yeah.
And I think that to me, what I see just from being here along this whole journey is that this show and what we're doing on our own accord, not in control of what you're putting out, like what you put out doesn't affect us.
Right.
In all reality, it doesn't. If you think it does, it's not true it's going out. And yeah, some people are thinking a certain way, but at the end of the day, that doesn't give anybody else power over what we all do and what you do. So the process that takes place in that narrative, I think when you say you have that vendetta, you have that something out, that's pointless. I think that needs to get dropped.
I know.
Because
I'm sort of joking. It's like a 5% feeling. I had it more in like the middle of the year when I was like tweeting back at like Crystalia and shit. And I was just like an angry kid. I'm sort of joking. It's just like, it is refreshing and nice. You guys are the first publication that has put me on camera. I believe I may have done one like a month, but
Hollywood, yeah.
He's saying is this, like what you're getting at, this is a perfect opportunity for you to continually reflect and look back and improve, make those steps.
I have a slight problem. You're very well spoken, Mike, and I love you. You know I love you. I personally, I just have like a problem with my boy jerking me off, like telling me like, yo, he's done this. And again, thank you. But I think as you know as well as I do, it's up to me now after, we cut and every day here on forward to continue being better, which is always like at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to.
And at the end of the day, it comes down to that. And the point that I was trying to make or hoping to hit on in portions of our conversation was I wanted to see like if that's even something you thought, right? Like I wanted to see if that was like if you were responding to pressure to respond to that situation or if you were actually reflecting on that situation. You know what I mean? The question to you was like, what has been the most poignant lesson for you in this last year? And I thought that what you said about slowing down was, it was like the realest shit you've said. To be perfectly honest with you. Do you know what I'm saying? Because it was like, I can so understand how you get in this machine of content, gotta turn out. Also because of that's what you do, that's what you love, that's how you operate, that's how you think, but also that's how we've come to know you. So then you have a pace to keep up. And then I can also understand making really bad choices and then
and not knowing it's a really bad choice until you're smacked in the face with it, right? And at some point, you just have to say, like, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry in a way that I now can't control how you feel about that. I can't control what you do with that. I can only control me. And so that's what I'm saying to you. Like, you got to let controversial YouTube star, honestly, you got to let that go. Because that won't change until
you change it.
Yeah. And again, it's like
it's not going to take a couple checks. And I swear I do not mean to minimize or to Snapchat your work afterwards.
I got thick skin, dog.
But like, it's going to take more than 365 days and several hundred thousand dollars or millions of dollars and donations and I'm sorry. It's going to take more than that show. And so you just got to roll with that.
Yeah. Facts.
Yeah. You are good at what you do. You would not be on the Forbes list. You would not be on Google's list if you were not excellent, if you did not have a well-working machine around you, right? Yeah. And so I'm saying that the same effort that you put into that, the same effort you put into being great, doing what you do, continue putting that same effort into being great.
Do you think, Logan, do you think personally...
Is that valid?
Yes, very, very.
Was that reasonable?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I didn't come here to judge you. I didn't come here to...
I know, and I can see that. And I'm sorry that I've made you the vehicle of the representation of traditional Hollywood that I'm sort of like, I don't want to put you on the hot seat, but I absolutely do. And I really appreciate you coming here and talking to me.
Of course.
Even my questions here, dude, like I didn't want to talk about this the whole time, but we're really like diving in. And quite honestly, for selfish reasons, this is nice because it's sort of therapeutic for me in a way. So I appreciate you coming on. I've been getting the wrap up sign for the past 10 minutes. So,
that's the move on sign.
Oh,
wait. Well, let me see the wrap up. Let me see the move on. What does that look like?
No, it's like let's talk about Scott for a little while.
What's the move on? I just want to see it.
Scott,
just doing the neck.
Scott, there ever been any celebs that you were nervous because you knew that if you met them in real life that you would be attracted to them, like that you were like, yo, this person is so hot that if I have to interview them, like I don't know if I'm gonna be able to control myself.
Yeah. Be able to control myself?
Yeah, like not control myself, but like that you were just gonna maybe like get a little sweaty, like just
I've gotten sweaty.
Who makes you sweat?
Whoa. I don't know if they like got closer to me, like things just got really real. I'm sweating now for different reasons. I'll be honest.
Now you handle yourself well.
I'm sweating now for different reasons. Zoe Saldana made me that way. But that was, think about it. She wasn't blue. She's been both of those and she's still been wildly attractive.
Was she the Avatar?
She is the Avatar.
Not was, is.
She's great.
Yeah, she is.
Just a full spectrum of colors that I can't see because I'm colorblind.
Lord. And she's one of those people that gives with her whole heart, right? So she creates content outside of the films and the art that she does in film. She creates other content that include her family, that include her loved ones, that help lift them up out of where they are amplifies them. Yeah. So I'm wildly attracted to that.
Do you have a dream guest or person that you want to talk to?
Interviewee.
So I've interviewed her.
Is she it?
No. I've interviewed her. I would like a more in-depth sit down, but it's actually, there are a few people now. So Oprah, of course. I'm black.
The queen.
Right? Yeah. Let's be real.
Wait a second.
Well, and she's the shit.
Can you like, say that one more time?
No, but like, she is, but like, also, I'm black. And so like, I want to know some things, right? Like, how did you go from being being cared for by a woman who is a domestic worker who hung laundry out on a clothesline to billionaire.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Queen of black money.
With a B. Like a B, like black.
Yep.
How did she inspire you to get into what you're doing at all?
Of course.
To what level?
At every level. I mean, like that story in itself. I mean, you think, and I'm talking like Jim Crow South, like where black people were less than.
Yeah. 3/5.
You know what I'm saying? Like this isn't like, oh, Obama's president, now Oprah has a network. Like, you're talking about a rise to notoriety when it was just like, nah, son, that's not for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you go hit them sheets real quick, though?
Yeah. So how, like, talk about your come up into traditional Hollywood.
So, is it traditional Hollywood?
I would say yes.
I'm like Hollywood adjacent.
Yeah, let's go with that. Adjacent.
Your show is literally called Access Hollywood. So yes, I would say it's traditional Hollywood.
It's just Access now.
It's not called traditional Hollywood.
Why you guys tell me it's Access Hollywood? It's in my calendar as AH.
Now it's just A? What it's the hell happened here?
See? We're adjacent.
Adjacent no, Hollywood.
I'm totally kidding. I started in, like, I got a gig in the third grade where I was playing a young Reggie Miller, playing against a young Larry Bird for the player intro videos for the NBA, for the Pacers in particular. Yep. And I just remember leaving that shoot. My sister booked me on Stacey Pates. She booked me on it. And I remember going home from that shoot and feeling like, oh, this is what I want to do.
And you did it.
Yeah, I mean, I chased every possible opportunity in Indianapolis for video content production, for opportunities to put hands on camera, hands on mouse and on keyboard to edit, and to learn how to tell stories through the video medium. And so crafted a voice in journalism, you know what I mean, in a program called Youth Video Institute, and then at Pike High School, and finally at Purdue University. And so was able to work in different news organizations and was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that was journalism, entertainment news was always like a sub interest to human interaction, right? Like, this is the thing that I vibe on. Like, this is the thing that I feed on. Like, you talk about getting high. Like, this is the thing that I enjoy the most. Yeah. And so I would be doing it if I were a teacher. I would be doing it if I were a taxi cab driver. I'd be doing it if I were
You'd be like the teacher that, like, changes the kid's life, like, changes the outcome of his life, because you're like, yo, I think you should pursue this dream that I see you having a speck of interest in.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I totally see that.
We started a nonprofit to do that. Called Fight the Whackness.
Really? Can you elaborate? Spencer's really into education and the way kids are being educated.
Yeah, so
nowadays.
We started an organization called Fight the Whackness that was, we define whackness as anything that prevented one from achieving greatness. So it could be bullying, it could be a lack of male role models, it could be literacy, it could be your address, all kinds of things, right? Mm. So we wanted to create a program that would allow young people to get their hands on the industries that they were interested in. I've lost everyone.
No, I'm here.
I was looking someone up. I spent time with a guy that made a documentary called Visible Man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Neil.
I'm not familiar.
I could think of was that. I want to connect you after. Sorry. Yeah. I was just trying to.
No, absolutely.
I'm tuned, bro.
No, I appreciate that.
He does the same thing.
That's digital natives nowadays, man.
Yeah. I get it, Brad. Like, it's an extension of your hand.
I'm listening to you.
Well, he does the same thing. He works with inner city youth that have, you know, all kinds of, you know, obstacles that they have to overcome, and he gives them the right role models and the right.
Yeah.
I have this theory.
What?
I came up with this. For the parents listening, my theory is when your kid hits the ages of 8 to 12,
mm-hmm.
whatever he or she expresses they're interested in most,
mm-hmm.
foster that.
Yeah.
Foster that. For me, it was video.
Yeah.
But when I said, yo, I want to do like videos, what the fuck? How you make money doing that? YouTube was just getting started. Yeah. No one thought I could do it. I didn't think I could do it.
I remember when YouTube came out, we were using it solely to watch reruns of Martin.
Yes. Yeah, yes. No.
Like, that was the only reason.
There was no such thing as creator. But my mom, thank God, mom, I love you, Pam, bought me a video camera. It was as simple as that.
Yeah.
Foster the belief at a young age, and then you can become like the thing you want to become instead of working like a 9-to-5 job and feeling trapped every day.
Yeah.
Building on that too, there's 75% of kids 6 through 17 want to be a YouTuber. And I hear so many parents that are like, oh no, like, you know, what's the chance of my kid or the kids themselves not believing in themselves.
Yeah.
What I think is cool is it's beautiful that we know 75% of those kids want that.
Yeah.
So what we should do instead of telling them, no, yeah, that's tough to make it there, or no, you realize what you're going to have to do. That is a perfect outlet to now build that passion, whether or not they end up becoming a YouTuber.
Yeah.
You have a vehicle that they are passionate about.
Can you,
well, something they want to
our
do.
Our approach was, instead of, it's so like you have these, you have kids who are like, I want to be an NBA player, right? And the first thing you as an adult think, oh, statistically, okay, this is like not going to happen.
Yep, right.
So, but instead of saying, maybe pick something else, we took you to the Pacers.
Yeah.
And we showed you all of these other gigs that help make the NBA work.
Like MC.
Exactly.
Maybe it's MC.
Cool. That's
maybe
super
it's,
cool.
Maybe it's like game operations. Maybe it's publicity. Yeah. Maybe it's coaching. Maybe, you know, all of these other avenues. Work on your basketball game. But if you're like 17 and have played 3 games of basketball,
and you're 5'2",
and you're 5'2", like, have a backup plan.
Question: saw you on the other side of the camera.
Yeah.
As a party goer.
Yeah.
On Power.
Uh huh.
Do you like that?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved Power is like just like, you know what I mean? Come on.
Like one of the best shows
it's
on
like
TV.
It's like one of the best shows on TV. And so I was watching that show. Okay, I'm going to give you, it's not really a funny story, but it's just an interesting story. So my Uncle Scott, man I'm named after, when I left Purdue to move to LA, he told me, so when you get back, you're going to need to be famous. Like, and don't come back
until you're famous.
Until you're famous.
What a broad thing to say to someone. What does that mean?
So there,
what's the metric there?
Right. Exactly. No, right.
The KPI.
But what I took that as, you're getting no breaks because you're following your dream.
Right.
Right. You're getting. Yeah. You're going to be held to the same standard of excellence, and fame is like an easy metric as far as like casual conversation. He dropped that on me like as I was putting like a Tupperware thing into the trunk.
Yeah.
And so he loved Power. Like, loves this show.
Oh, shit. He saw you on it, huh?
Like, we would be at holiday gatherings and he would be like, I don't know why people are watching Empire. Shout out
and
love
and
love to Taraji.
Yeah.
And Lee Daniels. Love what y'all doing.
Yeah.
Terrence Howard, what up? But Power was like the thing that he loved. And so when the opportunity came about to be on it, I was like, ah, yeah. And they were like, yeah, you need to sign this NDA. I was like, gladly. I don't want to tell nobody about it. No
I'll
way.
Sign anything you got.
Till it happens. Because you know how this happens too. You go do it and then they cut you out and you're like,
you got it. Ah, but I was there and with this. That's like me. Ma, watch Access Hollywood. I think there's a part about me on there. She watches it.
There absolutely will not be.
See, that's what I'm saying. Ma, don't fucking watch it. Just watch Impulsive. That's exactly. Your only chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, so you've been doing this for some time now. You have advice for hosting this podcast and dealing with guests.
What do you mean?
Not dealing with guests. Just like you have advice on how to keep it real, authentic, and keep your audience glued. I think we're doing a good job. I'm just curious. Let me pick your brain a
you're
bit.
You said you're the number one podcast.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. We kind of just say that. Like, we don't even know if it's
we're
true.
We're speaking into existence.
Yeah, I'm a journalist. Yeah. I said, you said. That. You said it's the number one podcast. Yeah. I mean,
to
I think-
To us it is.
Of course. He's agreeing.
It better be.
Yeah. He's agreeing.
Yeah. It better be to you.
Yeah.
I think the reality is- Now everybody wants authenticity. So even if you're going to be funny, even if you're going to be like over the top, people want to believe that it's somewhere in you that you're not.
But what if you suck even when you're being authentic?
Then winning. If you suck even when you're being authentic,
do you just stay authentic to it and you just suck? That's like your route,
and that's your route.
Yeah, that is just like, hey, what's up? Welcome to Impulsive. We all suck.
I feel like we're right there. That's us. It's just like, yo, we suck. Come suck with us.
That is such bullshit.
Nah, we're fucking dope. I'm not gonna lie.
No, I mean, I think also too, you gotta like, I'm just always gonna be a proponent of like getting clear, being clear, and knowing what you want, and then just being relentless in your pursuit of that. I think you'll do fine. You'll be great if you want to be great.
Question.
Yeah.
Do celebs and people you talk to buffer themselves around you off camera?
Careful. Careful.
Because are they always on record?
No, people aren't always on record with me.
But like, you know, like I was going to tell you a story before this happened. And like, yo, like I'm afraid, quite honestly, like.
No, here's the thing I'll tell you. Like, we live in a time where you should be aware that you're always on record.
Yeah.
But nah, I mean, I'm not an animal. I'm not some
like,
guy.
Like, you don't come to work and Ariel's, your producer, is like, mm-hmm. Yo, I know you hung out with XYZ last night. It's the fucking deal.
Oh, yeah, that happens.
And do you tell her? Or are you like, no,
oh, everything.
I think.
But it doesn't go on air. You just,
oh, no, no, it definitely goes on air.
Oh. Yeah.
I think what you're getting at is that we should live our lives as if we're on air all the time.
Yeah, I think.
Because that's the society we live in.
Yeah. Well, and I don't want that to sound like you got to fake it all the time.
Right,
what I'm
correct.
Really getting at is like.
Be real.
Be real. And also be aware that the things that you say and the things that you're doing may impact someone else.
Yeah, they have.
And in a way that hope you should want that to be something good.
My version
you
of,
should want that to be something great.
My version of real, I'm real. Mm-hmm. Most of my realness comes in like stories. Like I would like to tell you some things.
So tell me some things.
I can't because why? I don't know what you're going to do with the information.
Well, you have cameras here. I have cameras here.
I'm pretty sure the information is going to get out whether he does something with it or not.
You're literally airing a podcast now. So like this is a lot less about I'm going to do with it.
This is the least off record he will be.
Yeah.
Literally, I have a microphone.
There are 17 cameras here. 15 people.
4 publicists. Like someone's live tweeting in the back. Is that Twitch? Do they have Twitch pulled up? I don't even know.
Not Twitch.
The Twitch streaming. Yo, so are there any, do you know, you've interviewed a lot of people. Is there any like young, like attractive down to earth celebrities who are interested in dating a controversial YouTube star that you know of?
It depends on why they're controversial.
Ooh. So what if they're like,
dude, we need to have you around more often, bro. I'm telling you.
Just dropping these bits of wisdom.
There's some good stuff here.
He's asking about someone that just made like a mistake. It was like a one-time thing.
Like a one-time thing?
Yeah.
Well, I did a couple times.
One and a half.
To varying degrees.
Yeah.
It's me. We're talking about me.
Yeah. Oh, we're talking about you. Okay.
Logan's looking for love. Do you have any tips to help him find love?
Oh, tips?
Yeah.
Will be interesting maybe? Doing a like a
Bachelor.
Kind of. Not necessarily Bachelor.
Man, I don't know.
Hey, what's this rash on my wrist?
Ooh, that's something you might want to get checked out.
What do you think that is?
I would say disgusting would be my answer.
Looks like poison ivy. It's itchy. Don't put it near your butt.
You did go bungee jumping in a wilderness area the other day, yeah. Because I've had some weird stuff growing on my kneecap.
Wait. Let's hear these love tips. We're being impossible.
Where's
right now.
Lysol? Use some Lysol. Yeah,
quick.
Wipes.
Let me spray some Lysol on my wrist.
How about the first tip for when you're looking for love? Stop fucking looking.
I'm not looking.
Are you looking for love?
No, fuck no. I got things to do.
I mean, how fresh out of this relationship or out of a
relationship
are you?
I'm not looking for love tips. I'm not looking for love tips. I'm not looking for love.
Where would you go online? Would you date online? Would
Hell
you do
no.
No?
Hell, I signed up for Raya. You know Raya?
Yeah.
Are you on?
No.
Okay. I signed up for Raya. Was on it for 2 days. Matched with a bunch of girls.
Yeah.
Could never actually have the balls to meet up or do
you
anything.
Couldn't or they couldn't.
I could not. I would.
Well, that's probably where we should start. Is like you.
Something
like,
irks me about the dating apps. And then, yo, fun fact: I also got kicked off the app.
Yeah, he did.
How'd you get kicked off?
They like
the
removed.
App?
They removed me.
Yeah. Why?
I just got a message saying thanks for.
Someone reported you.
No, they don't. They don't allow controversial YouTube stars.
Quite honestly,
it's against their rules and regs.
It's happened. Someone, one of the creators is like, yo, I don't like that guy. He's not giving me the permission to be forgiven ever. Like, it's done.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So much so that I don't even want, like, they let my brother on.
Huh.
It's not like I was on
for
2 days.
Would you ever go on, like, a blind date? Would you ever be, like, set up?
Depends who's setting me up. If he sets me up, absolutely fucking not. If Spencer sets me up, hell yeah, I trust his judgment.
Yeah. That's my boy.
Which seems like he's got a lot of sense.
Which is funny because every girl he hangs out with now, I do set him up with. So he says that online or on air, but in reality,
he doesn't mean it.
No, he doesn't. He's making.
I try to feed him. I try to feed him.
Yeah, every girl I hang out with is through Mike, for sure. Yeah, Mike gets me all the girls.
Well, Mike, but if you Mike bought you
up,
the house,
if you set me up on a blind date,
yeah,
I take that. I trust you.
Yeah, that's what we're. I think that's what we're getting at, man. You need to come around here more often. Logan is looking for some relationships, so you know.
Let me ask you something, Scott Evans.
Yeah.
Not related to Chris Evans.
Not.
Are you sure?
You know, my team told me you were, and I was like, I don't think so, guys.
No, don't think so.
I don't think so.
Don't think so. It's funny how often that happens too. And when I walk in the room and they're like, "Hi, can we help you?" And I'm like, "I'm Scott Evans." And I'm like, "No, the hell you ain't." No, like all my life.
Why I have been. Do you not start a YouTube channel and become a content creator? Instead, you do the opposite and you work for a medium that you work for instead of doing it yourself.
Because this was my dream. I wanted to work on a entertainment news show on a big three network in prime time.
Yeah.
I wanted to be one of the few young black men that people could point to, that other young people could point to and say, "Damn,
yeah,
look at that."
Yo, that's first off, congratulations. Yeah. That's fucking huge. I'm sure you've had many uphill battles your entire life.
Yeah. I think I'll get to the YouTube, the independent content creation. You know, I'm working now on pitching shows, developing shows, things that I'm passionate about in ways that are different than the way I'm passionate about my job at Access. But I think there's work to do in this medium. You know what I mean? I want it to be a tally in the mark of representation.
Sort of interesting how, and again, this is coming from someone who in the past more than now has hopped back and forth, traditional, digital.
Yeah.
Which by the way,
do you think there's like a blend in the two?
I'm trying.
Huh.
I'm trying very hard.
There's more and more crossover happening right now. It's happening.
It's like, it's funny because we want what you have and y'all want what we have.
Do we?
I mean, I don't know if y'all want, but
what,
like,
you don't
want
to be the next controversial YouTube star?
No. I'm not saying we. I'm referring to digital creators in general. I'm talking about like, yes, y'all want the young, impressionable audience who will consume your content and do, buy, and watch the things that you say. Like, yes, you want that.
That's real.
Yeah. And I want what you have. It's like the older generation who, like, straight up, like, I would like their respect. That's all I want.
Hmm.
I want their respect. Don't even need their time. Just be, you know, see him in public. Yo, Logan, love what you do. Those are my favorite interactions.
Hmm.
Yeah. Gotta earn it.
Yeah, true.
You're doing it now. Just gotta keep on keeping on.
Facts.
Take the words out of my mouth.
Yeah. I think, hey, Jeff.
Yep.
Hey, can you make eye contact with me? You know who I spoke to at Rolling Loud? The guy, I'm not gonna say his name. He did the soundtrack for that one movie.
Yeah.
That I did. And he told me it's coming out.
Oh yeah.
Soon. He said he was just at the studio, which is big.
Wow. So do you think
did y'all hear anything about that?
She goes, "Oh God almighty."
Man, maybe it's wrong, but that'd be sick.
Like you were mentioning, you know, this is your dream to be in entertainment.
Relax, Spencer. Spencer's fucking pissed now.
So you were saying this is your dream to be in Hollywood, in entertainment. Logan, you were mentioning this has really been your dream as well, to be an actor and to be in Hollywood. Do you think that some of that feeling that you're working on overcoming is because that dream was kind of stifled through your own actions?
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It sucks. I fucked myself in the highest degree. There's no one else to blame. So yeah. Again, we've talked about it 1,000 times, but like the only person to, and you know more than anyone, the only person who can like really fix me is me.
Right. Well, and I think that's what's been amazing to watch is that you're on that trajectory and like, you know, if I have any 2 cents, it's just have patience.
Yeah.
You were saying have patience, stick to it. Like this is the number one podcast in the world, baby.
Yeah, you said, and really quick, you said you fucked yourself on the highest degree. Fuck yourself on the highest degree means you either died or gave up.
Mm.
You did neither of those.
Yeah.
Straight up.
It could get worse.
Could get a lot worse, bro. You're sitting on the number one podcast in the world right now, homie. Could get a lot worse.
I have a aunt who said something to me that was like, it's like a piece of advice I always come back to. And it's like, time is a revealer of all things, right? And so you can, there are a lot of things you can front, but you can't front forever, right? Like if you're sincere and you're real about it, like you're going to do it for as long as it is, because that's just who you will become, right? And so the result of what comes as a result of that, as far as your public persona or public perception, is none of your business. Because your business is about making sure everything you do is in line with what you know and what you believe and what is true for you.
Yeah.
Right? So like what Access writes about you, what the Hollywood Reporter writes about you, what TMZ writes about you, really is none of your business unless you're giving them, like directly feeding them the negative, the bull, right? Yep. So instead, feed them something else.
True. We're working on it. Big things coming 2019.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I'm looking forward to it, actually.
It's
2019.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
Yeah, it's I'm
cooking. You have no idea.
And we're excited to see what you cook up, man.
It smells
to be honest.
It smells like sweet potatoes.
There are some sweet potatoes.
They're ready right now. You physically. Want some?
Is it really?
Yeah.
I knew it.
Shout out Chef Katie. Yo, thank you guys for watching. This is gonna be
thank you.
Access Hollywood is gonna be out tomorrow, yeah?
Yeah, I mean it's on every day.
What World of Dance? Oh, my publicist is telling me to ask about World of Dance, which you just hosted an entire season.
Hosted an entire season of, yeah.
But can you elaborate? World of Dance, what is that?
World, it's a dance show.
Okay.
Oh, you want me to actually, okay, so.
Dive in a little bit.
It's a show on NBC. It's a dance competition show with Jennifer Lopez, Derek Hough, and Neo.
Oh, wow.
They're our judges. And
and you're the Ryan Seacrest. Of the show?
Yeah, like I'm the Scott Evans of the show. It's really cool.
Hey.
Yeah, it's really cool.
When can we watch it?
March, I believe. We're not really, I haven't been given an actual date, but okay. I think it's spring 2019. So I'm pumped because it's another opportunity for me. And you know how I talk about all the time, like I got clear about this is something I wanted to do. World of Dance is something that I wanted to do. And it didn't look like it was in the cards for me per se, but I didn't let that be the thing that stopped or dictated whether I would be able to be a part of it. And so here we are now at the end of 2018, and I'm the host of World of Dance.
Very cool.
You know, in a way that like a couple of weeks ago, I wasn't the host of World of Dance, but that didn't stop me, right? So I'm pumped because the talent in this show is unreal. I mean, it's people from all over the world. It's kids and it's adults competing in the art that like fuels their life. You know what I'm saying? It's like dancers are such an incredible kind of creators and usually wildly flexible.
I'm flexible.
I figured.
Yeah. The splits.
Exactly.
Kind of scary flexible.
Hey, last question before I sign off.
Last question.
You have used the word clear multiple times throughout this interview. And I noticed you have, it's a charged word for you. It doesn't mean what typically I would assume clear to mean to most people. You've used it in a very like inspirational sort of context. Hmm. What does that mean to you when you say you became clear?
I got really specific, and I got specific in a way that I made sure that the thing that I was focused on was in alignment with the gifts that I've been given, with the blessings that I've been given. And I wanted to, in order to be clear, you have to, all of the noise has to kind of go away. Right. And so Access is a avenue where I practice that. World of Dance is an avenue where I practice that. Fight the Whackness is an avenue where I practice that. My friendships and connections are avenues where I practice that. I want to just be the best I can be and offer a reflection of the grace that I've been shown, right? Like that's my purpose on this planet is to be a reflection of the shine that's been shined on me. And so I got clear about that.
That's dope. I like that
a lot.
Hey,
clarity.
Become clear.
Get you some.
Yo, thank you, Scott Evans, for real. I've really, really, really enjoyed this talk. I'm actually going to air this tomorrow with you guys. This is definitely, I don't know if you guys have realized, this is a separate podcast in itself.
Oh, I was just going to say, as soon as we got off.
I didn't expect it to go this long. Thank you everyone for waiting. For real?
Yeah, thank you, everybody.
Hopefully y'all are still recording. Thank you guys for watching. Subscribe wherever you subscribe, listen to podcasts, iTunes, YouTube, Spotify. We will see you guys tomorrow. It'll be Wednesday at this point. Take it easy, fam. Peace.
30% there's nothing like doing nothing. As an Expedia member, you can save up to 30% when you add a hotel to your flight, so you can go out there with great ambition to do absolutely nothing for less. Expedia, made to travel.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today.
Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.